clouds are too high? Do you fall to the ground when you reach for the sky? Does the picture you have in your mind never turn out right?
Well, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly Veterans Call. Today is Monday, July 26, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to, that is questions plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, questions to questions plural at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, we're going to pick up where we left off. Last week we read John chapter 17, So we're going to be in John chapter 18 tonight. So, Gospel of John, chapter 18, read by Alexander Scobie.
Chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus, and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber.
All right, I guess I forgot to unmute my mic there. Let me test my mic. Am I coming through okay? Testing 1, 2.
Yep, sounding fine.
Thank you. Okay. All right, tonight I want to look a little bit at our natural law republic. You know, Thomas Jefferson, when he founded our natural law republic and he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he laid out the process that our natural law republic is built upon 8 ancient biblical principles. And the first and foremost biblical principle is that our nation, our government, should be built upon nature's God's law, the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. And that is what the foundation of our republic is. He also said that it needs to be built upon self-evident truths, so moral, so just, that no one could deny it. A third principle, or ancient principle, is that all men are created equal. The fourth, that we are endowed by our Creator and with certain unalienable rights. The fifth was that of the greatest of these rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is paramount. The sixth was that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So we are to govern our government, ultimately. And the last is that whenever our form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is our duty, it is our right to alter or abolish it. I think I laid out all 8, but let me read it the way he put it in the Declaration of Independence. And again, you know, when we look into the Declaration of Independence and we see these principles laid out so clearly, and defined in such a way that it cannot be denied through self-evident truths, and how our Constitution was written under the same principles. As a matter of fact, the preamble to the Constitution, which maybe we'll read that too after we take a look at the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. So this is the preamble of the. I'm going to read three paragraphs off of it. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And, you know, I'd like to make one point clear. You know, when our founding fathers was living in the colonies prior to us even beginning to become a nation, they had a court system, and that court system served them well. But as soon as they started bucking the system, asking questions, and making waves to the existing government because, you know, they were not being represented, the king was ignoring the colonies in many ways, and there were lots of problems that the king needed to solve, and he didn't solve these problems. He didn't send anyone to work out these problems. So, of course, we, at the time, were pretty much governing ourselves to some degree, of course. But our court systems were pretty valid back then. We were under common law. It was assumed we were under common law. England already had fallen far away from common law at this point in time. And I don't know if our founding fathers realized this at the time. But when they started to buck the system, they found themselves being charged with outrageous charges that, of course, were not true. And no different than we are today. But they were finding in their courts that they were able to defeat these false charges because the people refused to indict. So they did have common law, and common law was practiced in the courts, and of course that's where common law is practiced, in the courts. And so then, of course, you know, the king started to have people exported or imported into back to Britain, but exported out of the colonies for trial in Britain, where they can get the indictment, where they can get a conviction, and start to punish these individuals for crimes that they have not committed. So I think that was a really a big alert to how serious the problem was. I mean, there were other problems, of course, but they were very, very intense on and focused on the fact that we must be a natural bar republic. When this government was created, it's built upon this foundation in the Declaration of Independence. So let me continue to read. So we hold these truths to be self-evident. So we're built upon these self-evident truths, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that when any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them that seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, I'm not going to read any further. There's another paragraph or so before it starts to get into the listing of what the king has refused to do, and again laying out the reasons for their separation. But with that in mind, we go over to the Constitution itself, and we read of six specific directives. Anything that government does, it must fulfill at least one or more of these six directives. And these are the basic principles that ultimately have come from the Declaration of Independence, which ultimately have come from ancient principles found in our Bible, in the first five books of the Bible particularly. So we read, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union," establish, so that's one principle. Anything they're doing is to form a more perfect union between the states. Establish justice. Justice must be found in our courts. And today, it's not found anywhere. We cannot find justice. Justice has been lost in our courts. And this, of course, is our battle today. They are to ensure domestic tranquility. Again, any legislation, any act they do must fulfill one or more of these directives. And if it doesn't, and of course it can't go out, they can't go outside of the powers and authorities that we've given them in Article 1, 2, and 3 specifically, but of course the entire Constitution. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. We do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, of course, the Ten Amendments, you know, are part of the original Constitution. It was agreed upon on the signing of the Constitution that amendments would be added. They wanted 12. They agreed before they signed the Constitution, they agreed on 10. And actually, they agreed on all 12 because actually one or more has more, one or more of their concerns inside of one. For instance, if we look at the First Amendment, we have Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, or forbid the exercise thereof, or, and his too, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Of course, our government today is violating all of these things. And it's up to we, the people, to fix this problem. No elected individual is going to be able to fix these problems. Even those who are trying to save this nation and bring us back on course, and I do believe that they're working diligently, I do believe that's going to be accomplished soon, but it's up to the people. It's up to the people to make sure that we take back this nation and bring it back under the natural law. Let's see. So in the Declaration of Independence, I just want to read one paragraph here. I guess this would be referred to as part of the preamble to this, but in any event, paragraph. It says, the conventions of the number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed the desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And for what purposes, again? In order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers. You know, the entire Constitution and any action that government might take, at no matter what level that they are and that they might take it at, they ultimately are governed by our unalienable rights, that they shall not violate them. And anything they do, any act they perform, any law that they write, if it violates any of our unalienable rights, and we have a lot more than 10, we have a lot more than 12, we have a lot more than 30, we have a lot more than 50, any of our unalienable rights, then their action is null and void. And unfortunately, almost everything they do violates our rights. So let me just reread that. In order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory or restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. So that's where we're at today, pretty much, where our founding fathers found themselves at. And it's time for us to really get active. We've been working for quite some time. The National Liberty Alliance has been about, I think we came into being around 2012, if I recall. So we're active now about 9 years, close to 9 years. And we've been building this website for more than that, actually. We've been building websites for 12 plus years. And a lot of the information that we've put up on this website, we've learned the law, we've learned how to access the courts, we've learned about common law, we have performed a lot of work, we have filed many, many papers in the courts, we've written many, many papers and posted that up on all of our website. We have a tremendous, tremendous amount of education and information up on our website. Keep anyone busy for years, literally, going through all that we have up there. And we wrote a book. And the key in my mind when I realized that we needed to write a book, and the book is really the product of 12 years of research, 12 years of building National Liberty Alliance, researching, writing papers, posting papers. And of course, collectively, all of that work that we've been doing and papers we've written really makes up the book, Government by Consent. Now, the book Government by Consent is now available in numerous places and should be in bookstores, hopefully in many bookstores, shortly. And it's being sold up on Dorrance And I'll link now, if you go onto our website and anybody that's watching the desktop here, I'm going to show you where we're going to with this from now. But if you click on the right-hand side, Government by Consent book, and that should be on every single page, as a matter of fact, throughout our website. So at any point in time, you can click on that Government by Consent book. For anybody that hasn't purchased a book yet, you might want to consider purchasing one now. But this will take you to a page, and there's numerous places in here where you can click to order the book. But basically, we give some information about the book and what it's about. We give the details of the book. It's 916 pages, by the way. We give the table of contents, and we also give people, they can click here to read the book's preface. And that's 15 pages, the book's preface, and that gives a really, really good flavor of the book. It's a really good synopsis of the book, I think. So people can get a good idea before they order it what this book is about. And they can go through all of the chapters. I know towards the end I have to update this because I added a chapter and I changed the chapter name and stuff. And I'm not sure whether I had repaired that or not, but... And I don't think I did, because I think there's 12 chapters in the book now. So anyway, to order the book, anybody who hasn't ordered the book and would like to order the book, there's a couple places. You can click on the top, and it'll take you right to Dorrance Publishing, where you get some information on the book, and you can add the book to the cart and purchase it. But anyway, it gives a little bit of information, something I wrote about the book and also about myself. So anyway, I'm going to start sending information out to all of our membership. Hopefully a lot of people are going to get out there to buy the book. It's extremely important for us to become educated, and that's the purpose of the book. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. I have found nowhere online, nowhere anywhere, that really lays out the knowledge that we the people need to have. Now, of course, you can find it in bits and pieces all over the web, but it takes a lot of research. And National Liberty Alliance has brought everything together for the purpose of educating a people so that they may have government by consent. And, of course, that is the book itself and our website. You know, our website does the same thing. We have all the information up on our website that people would need. But the book does lay it out in a good way. It's something you can carry. It's something you can use to deal with problems and situation in courts. We have 30 memorandums in this book, extremely powerful memorandums that could be used in the court of law. And of course, on our website, we have a lot of other information. And even our book refers a lot of information on our website. And we have all the handbooks on our website that we have written, and they're up on our website. But again, anybody interested in getting the book or getting you click on one of these links, and you'll see a second and a third one. There's a couple of them throughout the page, you know, where you can click a link to purchase the book. So from this point forward, books will be bought and sold directly through Dorrance Publishing, which obviously is the publisher that I chose to go with. All the books, you know, I've gotten a whole bunch of books that came in this past week. I worked on them over the weekend, got them all together. They went out in the mail this morning. So pretty much all the books have gone out. There is some books that have not gone out to a few individuals because, you know, they only sent me 100 and I'm waiting for more to come. So by the end of this week, I'm hoping to get the rest of the books and the rest will go out. But anybody who ordered one book, they definitely got the books. Some people who ordered more than one book, they may not have gotten their books, but some did, of course. Some people have ordered. I had one person who ordered 5 books that went out, and there was other people who ordered 2 or 3, and some of them went out. But we were short a few books, but pretty much almost everyone has the book now. A lot of the sheriffs that has not gotten out yet, and that hopefully will go out by the end of this week. I'd like to hopefully to have it the end of this week and maybe get it into the mail on Saturday morning. But if I can't get it in Saturday morning, and as long as it comes by the end of the week, you know, it'll probably go out Monday, so then we should be caught up on all mailing with all the books. So anybody who ordered a book should have it. Anybody who wants a book, again, click on the links, and you'll get it delivered directly to you. Now, I'm trying to get a hold of of call. I tried to get him today. I haven't been able to get him yet, but I left a message for him. Hopefully I'll be able to speak with him tomorrow morning. And we really need to push really, really, really hard on this sheriff's program that we have, our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. We have to push real hard. And I'm going to write a couple of emails over the course of the next week or two concerning that to our entire membership of almost 10,000 people. And I should hope that with almost 10,000 people, now that the book is available, that people will step up and get a book for their sheriff. We have about 60 or 70 sheriffs, roughly speaking, at this point in time, that's going to be getting books. But we have to get them out to 3,000 sheriffs, which is approximately how many sheriffs we probably have in the United States. There's 3,134 counties or something like that. But there are certain counties where, there's practically no one living in it. And, all the counties up in, for instance, in Alaska, they don't have sheriffs, which they need to have sheriffs, and we're going to push that. Connecticut doesn't have sheriffs. There's eight counties. Connecticut is a small state. There's eight counties in Connecticut, and they don't have sheriffs. And we have seven counties in New York that don't have sheriffs. But pretty much most of the other states, there are a few other places that they don't have a sheriff, or a sheriff is appointed by a governor, which they are no sheriff at all, because they don't answer to the law as they understand it. They answer to a governor. And that's not right. You can't answer to a political person, especially someone who is to protect the unalienable rights of we the people, which is their major, major, major concern and focus as a sheriff, is to protect our Constitution and our unalienable rights. Anyway, we intend on changing that. But so let's just say that right now there's 3,000 sheriffs that need to get a copy of this book. And we got a good letter that came from Sheriff Darr out of Michigan, sheriff to sheriff, that we put into this book. And I also sent us a few pieces of other information we're going to be sending to the sheriffs, for instance. We're going to invite these sheriffs to invite their deputies to come to National Liberty Alliance and take our courses. We have lots of free courses. And of course, our government by consent course. I've been back and forth on whether we want to give this free to them or not. Right now I'm leaning towards we're only charging $5 a month or more, as a donation. That's only $60 a year. I think people will appreciate things more if they at least have to pay a little something for it. So my thinking at this point is to leave it there, and we do need the money. Once the book starts to bring in money, and I have other sources of money that hopefully is going to be coming soon, And I really do believe that once this book gets out and I start to get out there to do interviews on this book, there's four places I'm trying to get interviews with right now, and I've already sent them a book. And if we can get interviews with those four places alone, that will send the word out so far and wide that we will be called by many people to be interviewed. And that, of course, is our goal, to get those interviews out. Once we get the interviews out and make this book, bring this book out to the public, make people aware of the book and its contents, what it's all about, who National Liberty Alliance is, I think we are going to hit critical mass. I listen to so many different programs from time to time. There are certain ones I listen to all the time, but sometimes I listen to this one here, this one there, and it's always the same thing. Get out there and do something. Don't not do something. Get out, but they don't tell them what to do. Get up to vote maybe, or go out and go to a rally or something, or to some meeting that doesn't have any fruits to it. They don't know what to do. And when the people find out that this is a book on what to do, how to have government by consent, I gotta believe that this is going to move like wildfire through the Patriot movement. I just have to believe that. And again, it's not about my book. I really had no intentions of writing a book. It was never part of my plan. It just came up about a year or two ago that, hey, maybe I should put all my work together. Maybe someone brought that idea to me. I don't remember. But It's not me about selling my book in order to make money or to do anything other than to further the movement here. And of course, the book will make me money, and I will live a little better. I'm always on a tightrope these days, but in any event, I'll live a little better. But a lot of this money is going to go right back into this system to do what we have to do, to get the word out to the people, to save this republic of ours, this natural law republic, the only one in the world. And the only thing that could save this world is for this natural law republic to survive and for the people to really have true liberty again, to have just courts again. Our courts are all just unjust. We're under civil law. Civil law is repugnant to the common law. Civil law is repugnant to the common law, and it just doesn't work. But that's what they've done. They've robbed us of our courts of justice. They've robbed us of our unalienable rights. They've robbed us of our control of government. They just robbed us. And it's time for we the people to step up and take it back. So, again, I'm going to push real hard on this book soon. One of the things I wanted to try to get a hold of Carl, if you're listening, give me a call in the morning. But I want to set up, because we had people who wanted to buy this book who wanted to use a credit card. And I don't know whether they bought it or not because they couldn't use a credit card. But now that's going to be available. They can go right up and buy it. But I want to get this. I'm trying to negotiate with my publisher that I'd give them a list of sheriffs that we would want these books to go out to, and then they would put a letter in there, maybe some other material in there, and send it out. They told me they didn't think they'd be able to do that, but they were going to see, talk to, I guess, their boss and see if they can get that going. I don't think that's going to happen. But in any event, what we want to do is I want to set up on a website where people can go to the store. You know, they'll click on, for instance, we'll put it all up on the website. It's already up there now, but we'll make it more prevalent concerning our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. To get people to get up there and be able to use a credit card, a debit card, a check, a money order, however they want to do it. But to really push the people to get up there and buy their sheriff a book. So they'll go onto our line and onto our page and press the button and go to a place where they will order the book. They put their basic information in there and their credit card and stuff. But we would get their state and their county. And if they bought their sheriff a book, and it would give them the option to buy other sheriff's books too. But once they put their state and county in there, then we'll be able to find their sheriff and make sure that their sheriff gets that book. Now, if their sheriff already has a book, then we'll just shift it to another sheriff. And it's extremely important, not just for one sheriff to have a copy of this book, but for every sheriff to have a copy of this book. First of all, they'll be introduced again to this book by a sheriff, sheriff to sheriff. Second of all, once they start reading the book and see all of the footnotes and the proofs of what we're talking about throughout this entire book and the consistency of what we are and who we are as a nation and how this book relates to that, then they'll get a backbone. And when you have 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 sheriffs with a backbone, now we have something. Now we're talking. Now we've got sheriffs working together, understanding the problem. The common problem among sheriffs that we've heard here in New York, and not by many sheriffs, but at least by a few, is that they don't know what to do. They don't know what the law really is. They kind of say that almost, you know. They have to go to, the county attorney to get information on law and what to do. Well, look at that's not doing their job. They're the ones that's supposed to interpret the Constitution. They're the ones that's supposed to interpret whether our rights have been violated or not. They're the ones that have to protect the people and uphold the Constitution and make sure that all of our individuals that are elected or appointed are obeying that Constitution and staying within the guidelines and within the criteria that we've set forth for them to remain inside of, and not to violate the people, especially in the courts. And the sheriffs, you remember, the bailiffs are supposed to be deputies. they're supposed to be working for the sheriff's department. They're supposed to be employed ultimately by the sheriff. Any place there's a deputy, whether it's a common law court, you know, so any state court, any county court, and well, the federal courts, they don't really have sheriffs. Well, they have bailiffs, but they don't have, they don't work for the sheriff's department, so it's kind of a little different on that. But any court case that is of an individual, you know, that's a criminal case against an individual, that's requiring a sheriff to have be a bailiff in that court, because they have to be in a court of law. I think I'm coming to this conclusion. I'm still kind of working on this, but it's becoming stronger and stronger that the federal courts are incapable of giving us a court of law. They can give us courts of equity, but there is no criminal concerns within the federal government that they should apply upon the people unless it's within commercial activities. But to the people in general, they can have no law to apply against the people. They can't apply USC 18 or USC 26 against we the people. They have no power, no authority to do that. We never gave them the power to write those things. So anytime there's a criminal case directly at the people, it's got to be in a state court. It's got to be held, of course, within the county and within the state and within the county where the crime, quote unquote, was committed. And there is no such thing as federal crime. It's none of their business. It's not part of the system. Now, the United States Supreme Court is also an equity court. They have no power and no authority to make any decision in a court of law whatsoever, with one exception. And that exception is they have a duty to protect the unalienable rights of we the people. And when a state court violates that, it should be able to be appealed to the United States Supreme Court, actually to the federal judiciary first, of course, which should uphold the Constitution and command and demand that lower court to obey the law. And that ability, you know, is to go all the way up to the United States Supreme Court if necessary. But even in a criminal case in a federal court, once it turns criminal, it's got to go into a court of law. Can no longer remain an equity court. They may be able, of course, to try to use the equity, the civil law that they will. It's equity, ultimately. I don't like to call it civil, but it's equity. So the codes that they wrote for equity courts, the codes, and the regulations, the statutes, can be applied against an individual that maybe is working in commercial activities, interstate, that violated some law or something and committed a crime or whatever the case may be, because again, becomes criminal at that point maybe, or an individual working within a federal agency, then they have to open a court of law. And my wondering is, how do they open a court of law in a federal court without a constitutional protector, such as the sheriff, via course, a bailiff who is one of the deputies. So again, I'm kind of wondering how that might really actually work, and so I'm kind of exploring that. But it is settled in my mind. Federal government can't accuse anybody of anything. They could report the crime if they think it's a crime maybe a prosecutor in a county somewhere, or a state. And then, of course, they got to go out and get themselves before they get a conviction, they got to go out and get themselves an indictment. So they have to go to the people. You know, we don't have trial by government; we have trial by the people. Of course, today we go to courts; it is trial by government. Every trial is trial by government. There is no such thing as trial by people in any court in America, not that I have seen. But anyway, of course, the truth and the fact of the matter, the way it's supposed to be, we have trial by the people and not by the government. So the people have to agree that there's a crime. And then the people have to agree that there is guilt. And then the people have to agree on what the penalty should be. And the penalty is not always jail. It should be more often than not, not jail. Okay? you know, most crimes, you know, you have to restore whatever the injury, whoever the injured party is, they have to be restored. And that's the process. So I'm kind of perplexed a little bit. I haven't concluded on that part with, you know, a criminal case, how that might be run in federal court. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until 1970 or 71 when the power and the authority was given to the U.S. attorney to call for a grand jury. Prior to 1970, 1971, they didn't have the ability to call for a grand jury. So if they couldn't call for a grand jury, they couldn't call for indictments, could they? And if they can't call for indictments, they can't open up a criminal case against anybody. So I'm trying to figure out how they did it and what the proper way should be, you know, that should go about, go forward with. But in any event, okay, our courts are a mess and we have to take it back. I think things, and we've been watching for a while, things are getting closer and closer. You know, we're getting ready to file more papers and trying to kind of consolidate all of our papers we've brought together and see once how we're going to take that and apply it within the courts. I mean, they're already in the courts as part of a record. So if I refer to these different papers that we've written, I want to do something with a very strong synopsis of all those papers that we have filed. And probably about 30 or 40 memorandums attached. But the whole thing starts off with the fact that the federal judiciary has robbed us. They have robbed we the people of our liberty. They have robbed we the people of our right of due process. They have robbed we the people of a court of law, the common law courts. And they have incarcerated us in civil law prisons, statutory prisons, if I may, and have violated us constantly. And we could see what they're doing with some of the cases that they claimed, you know, that there was some crimes took place on January 6th there in Washington, D.C. And, of course, they're arresting all the wrong people. Actually, to them, it's all the right people. It's the Patriots, and trumping up charges that don't really exist. All right, I guess we'll move over to questions or announcements, Jan.
Okay, I don't have any particular announcements. I do have several questions tonight, John.
Okay, let me just finish saying about what we're doing with the sheriffs, though. I don't know whether I actually finished this, and I've been thinking about it, so I'm not sure if I even said this correctly, but we're going to set a place up where people can go on. Like I said, I know I did say that they can put in their state and so on and be able to get a book to their sheriff. And again, we're going to approach all of our members, almost 10,000, to step up and do this thing. But we will be handling those books probably directly. And that's what I don't think I think I missed. We're not going. I don't think we're going to have our, you know, my publisher do it because I don't think they're going to be able to. But we may want to control that better anyway, because we definitely want to make sure certain paperwork gets into that book, you know, to introduce the sheriff by sheriff, and also a paper to invite their deputies and themselves to come online to take courses and to get a lot of free literature. We have the sheriff's handbook up there that they can get a copy of that. We'll make sure they know about that. Eventually, we'll get that in booklet forms. As a matter of fact, all of our books will get into booklet forms. We've got the jury handbook. We've got the committee of safety handbook. Brent has the militia handbook. And we've got I think I mentioned the sheriff's handbook. So we want to make all those handbooks available in pocket handbooks where people can have them and stick them in a pocket like you do a constitution. But still, we'll always have downloadable copies of that in PDF so everybody can get copies of all of that information for free of charge. But if they want something convenient and clean and neat to stick in their pocket, then we'll make that available. And of course, we'll try to get that as cheap as we can. I know they sell these little handbooks online for $5 a piece and so on. I'm looking at buying large quantities and making them available, you know, by buying by the hundreds only. I wouldn't, I don't think I'd want to get involved in selling one at a time because we'd probably go insane, wouldn't have enough time. But I know we were selling the other ones, I think it was 68 cents a piece. So it was a $68. I think that's what we were selling them for. And that included shipping too, I think. So we're able to get a good price by ordering a large quantity. So that's what I'm going to look into, being able to order a large quantity, and so maybe we'd sell them for 70 cents a piece or something like that. But buying by the hundreds, which would be $70 per hundred, and then we'd probably give a better deal if people wanted to buy like 500 or something, or 200, you know, something like that. We'll work something. I'll figure something out. But we want to make them available, and definitely want to make the jurist handbooks available for the courts so that every court has plenty of these, you know, at their hand themselves to be able to hand out to any jurist that comes in. So, okay, with that, go ahead, Jan. No announcement, but you've got some questions, right?
Okay. Last Friday, I saw a very good episode of Greg Kelly, who named each person being held in custody in D.C. who were in D.C. during the exercise of their right to assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievance. Will the United States Common Law Grand Jury submit a habeas corpus to get the 20 or so people released? I'll be listening to tomorrow night or tonight. Please cover this, and I will review the Greg Kelly episode to get each person's name.
Yeah, I'd be very, very interested in working with that and pulling together the jury to come together to consider. Well, we wouldn't have to. Well, actually, we might even pull the jury together to consider indictments, but definitely to do habeas corpus. But the only thing we would need, of course, is someone to do some investigation to get the names of the individuals, the information that they were charged with. If we can get someone that can actually make physical contact with one or more of those people, that would be good. It would be stronger. But again, we do have to get some solid information and feel confident about that solid information because we would need an affidavit. We need a person that is, in the federal level, is called the next friend, which is able to write an affidavit on behalf of someone that's in prison that doesn't have the ability or the access or whatever to write a habeas corpus or request the habeas corpus and to do an affidavit. But if we have someone who can get all the information and be very specific and do it in an affidavit form and give us all the names, then we definitely would go forward with that, and we'd go forward with that quickly. We'd get it done very quickly and get the papers filed within days. But again, you know, we need someone to do an affidavit and act on behalf of these individuals as a next friend. So if they're interested or anybody else is interested in working on this, we'll connect if more than one person wants to help out on this and work to get information. And we can assist you to tell you what kind of information we need in details. And, you know, first we have to dig up the charges and find out what we can through the courts, and then we can then talk about whatever information we might need. But whatever is done and whatever is brought before the you know, us to the grand jury in order to go forward with pursuing a habeas corpus, it must be in affidavit form. And we'll assist you with that. So, yes, very interested. Contact Jim over at National Liberty Alliance through intake, I-N-T-A-K-E, intake at National Liberty Alliance. And let Jim know that you're interested in gathering information to assist on a habeas corpus for these 20 or so individuals. And as soon as Jim, and there may be more than one person interested in working on this, so anybody that's interested in working on this and thinks they can help, get in touch with Jim at intake at nationallibertyalliance.org. And once Jim gets some basic information on a few people, we'll make arrangements and we'll have a private meeting with myself and Jim and Jan and maybe a few others, Gerard and a few others maybe, and talk about how we would go about approaching this and the information necessary. Okay, next question.
Okay, last week I heard Gerard mention again the consequences of the unvaccinated coming in contact with the vaccinated and subjecting themselves to secondhand exposure to spike proteins from the very breath of the vaccinated. This sounded pretty alarming because most people that work and travel are going to come into contact with others, and chances are that they are among those vaccinated. I have family and co-workers whom are vaccinated, and I do not scrupulously avoid them because both my job and family life warrant contact with them. My question here is, can those who may be possible victims of secondhand exposure anticipate the same fate and life expectancy of the said 2 to 3 years of survival?
Yeah, you know, this is a serious dilemma. And I've heard this from numerous sources as Gerard was speaking about it. And, you know, the only thing really we could do is just trust in God, in my opinion. I don't know how far we can go. But Gerard, if you got your ears on, if you want to respond more to this question, unmute yourself and respond. I can't respond too much more because I have not really done a lot of research or anything into it to know the details. But again, I have heard this stuff from various sources. I don't know. You know, I always have to take things with a grain of salt, and so I take with a grain of salt. But I wouldn't ignore the warning and the concern because it is coming from a lot of good sources. Gerard, are you here? Got your ears on there?
He's here. I don't know if he's...
Yeah, I can see him.
Available. He's muted.
Okay. And by the way, let me open up the queue while we're talking here. If anybody has a question or a comment, star 6 and 1 to get into the queue, star 6 and 1. Okay. And by the way, is Brent here yet?
No, I've been watching, and I haven't seen him yet.
Okay. Let me know when he comes in, and I'll stay on the mic until Gerard gets up there. So, okay. Anything else, Dan, before I move forward?
Yeah. The next question. I was watching a video on Red Pill 78, and a gentleman came on by the name of Colin Derrick. And he was emphasizing on the much misunderstood phrase in the Declaration of Independence as the consent of the governed are those who consent to being bound by the position of public trust or by their consent derive these just powers, limited powers, for the express purpose to secure these rights, not us, the people. That is misunderstood as the ones who consent. Did you get that?
Yeah, that sounds like a bar attorney wrote that. I don't know who that person is, but they have not done any real research into common law and how things really work. We have government by the consent of the governed. And I believe that's the exact words. Let me take a quick look at this. We just read this, as a matter of fact. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, they get their powers through the Constitution, and we are the ones that consented to those powers through the Constitution. And true consent of government goes beyond that. It goes to the courts. We don't have trial by government, or at least no, we're not. But we do have trial by government. We're not supposed to have trial by government. We're supposed to have trial by the people. We have government by the people. The government, we the people, have laid out the powers. We vested Congress with certain powers. We vested the administration with certain powers. And we vested the courts with certain powers. But we did not give any of these people powers to write any law to restrict our behavior in any way, shape, or form. They can't do that. That's civil law, and that's what they've done. They've done what they please. And a lot of them, a lot of these things that were done is because the people were ignorant. We're as much to blame as they are to some degree. Of course, they're evil and they planned this whole thing and made us dumber and dumber and removed more and more information. So as generation goes to generation, we have less and less information, less and less knowledge. You know, to believe that we are to live under the court system that we're under, people believe it. As long as people believe the lie becomes the truth. The lie becomes the reality, shall I say, really. It doesn't necessarily become the truth. It becomes the reality. It becomes the truth to them, and it becomes the reality. So reality is the way one perceives it. So therefore, our court system is run by civil law, created by legislators to do whatever they please, unrestricted, to make any law they want. And clearly, they make laws all the time that is anti-constitutional, laws that violate our unalienable rights on a daily basis. And then you go into courts that if they're not happy with enough law, they make it up as they go. They change the rules as they go. They apply one rule to one and a different rule to another. It's so out of control, so out of control. And people have lost any sense of common sense because they're so confused. And they listen to the narrative, and the narrative is in opposition to their common sense. And that creates more confusion. Then you get somebody like this. Yeah, I don't know who that person is, but they get someone like this that says something like that. Okay? Well, that's a lawyer talk. Whatever information, if that person isn't a lawyer, they certainly got their information and they're under the influence of the mind of a lawyer in some way, books they read or something. But clearly they have not researched who we are as a people, what our heritage is, what our powers and authorities are, and what we can do about this. We have the power and the authority to take this government down and reset it back up again. We have the power to pull Congress out of power. There's a couple of ways we can do that. And again, through the committees of safety and organizing across this nation in every single county, then we will have the power and the authority to pull any and all people in the U.S. Congress at any given time. We have the power to refuse the elections for the senators, U.S. senators, and send it back to the states to tell the legislators of the states and the governor of the states. It's up to them to send two senators into the Congress, because that completely destroyed the balance of power within the Constitution. That 17th Amendment just destroyed it. It took away the sovereignty of the states. They have no vote in Congress. They have no say in what goes on in the federal government. They're at the mercy to do whatever it is that they dictate to them, and that's that. And that's the power of the people. We could do that. If we have committees of safety in all or at least most counties, we'd have the power and the authority to recall every single one of them, and within 90 days replace them all. Or we can go, and if they're, you know, most of them deserve an indictment. We gather the information and consider, and when you have enough people to do this, you know, you have groups in each state would look into their senators or even into their congressmen. Well, the senators, like I said, got to go back to the legislators of the state. But, you know, we can look into every congressional district, and we'd have people through the committees of safety to explore what they're doing, the works and the things that they're voting on and what they're doing. And if we find that they are violating their right, our unalienable rights, that they're violating their oath, we can indict them and just remove them immediately through an indictment. Okay, so the power of the people is paramount. The power of the people, it takes knowledge in order for the people to have that and exercise that power. Once the people understand, you know, I think I told a story on one or two occasions about a puppy Doberman that I had, and was beat up all the time because he lived on the back road, and there was other dogs they used to pick on him. Anyway, I went away for a couple of months, went down to Florida. When I came back, she was no longer a puppy. And then she realized her powers, and it was the opposite way around at that point. And that's the way it is with the people, you know. We don't know what the power is. We don't know our abilities. But if we can learn them, if we can understand government by consent, if we can understand the powers and the authorities we gave to them and the restrictions and what we can do about it, we then can be Dobermans ourselves. We can take them out and put back into place the right people that we need and get rid of all these clowns. But again, we're not going to have, if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And that was, of course, Thomas Jefferson. And he said that quote in a couple of different ways, by the way. But in any event, that's what we have to do. We have to take it back. We have to first come to the knowledge of who we are and grow the backbone to do it. We have to get our sheriffs. We've got to get them to grow a backbone. And those backbones are only going to be grown through knowledge. And knowledge that they're sure of. Not just written in a book. Not knowledge because someone said so. That individual, I'd like to hear what they have to say, how they can back that up. They probably read it in a book somewhere, or it was told by some lawyer, a constitutional lawyer. Matter of fact, we are determined to shut the bar down. The bar must shut down. They're destructive to liberty. They're destructive to our natural law republic. And that is part of our focus, is to shut them down and to replace most of the federal courts, the judges within the federal courts, and most of, if not all, of the United States Supreme Court. I think the only one so far that I have found that has been true to who they are and should be is Clarence Thomas. That's it. He's the only one. He talks about common law. He talks about a lot of the problems. I was surprised to find out as I was looking into him a little bit some of the things he had to say. But he was, in my opinion, stronger than Scalia. In my opinion, at this point in time, I'm seeing him much more powerful than Scalia in his positions, in his understanding. But the rest of these justices, I don't know about, you know. All right, anyway, where are we, Ken? Did I answer that question? Completely?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, next question. I have a court case coming up for driving under suspension. My question is, but he makes a statement, but I'll read it anyway. If I was to go and try to cash a check at the bank and had an expired license for ID, they would not cash my check.
I guess he expired, huh?
Yeah.
I've been there before. It's ridiculous. Isn't that ridiculous? Because it's expired? I mean, if the picture is there, the information is there, they've been using it, and they're not going to... That, of course, is just more control, more government control. And besides that, you know, if it's your bank, you know, they should have your signature on file. They probably have your picture on file, and, you know, usually they get a copy of your license anyway for ID, and they already have all this stuff. But, yeah, it's just creating more problems just to give us something to do so we don't pay attention to the wrong places, which actually is the right places we should be paying attention to, which is all of the evil they're doing and all of the law-breaking they're doing. It's just keeping us busy and away from the truth. That's all it is. It's another one of those things.
Yeah, to show just how bad they can get, when I moved to Pennsylvania, I had an out-of-state license, so I went down to get it converted over to a Pennsylvania license. And when I showed them that, they said, well, is it expired? And I says, no. He said, well, then we can't use it. If it was expired, we could use it.
That's weird, eh?
Whatever you brought in, they were going to have the opposite, you know?
Yeah.
They just love to give you a hard time.
They're good at that. That's their job, they just seem to think, anyway. You know, these bureaucrats, I just can't believe their mentality. They come in as just, you go in to talk and deal with these people. It's like they're your boss, and particularly a government, I mean, of course. They think they're your boss, you know? I don't understand it, you know? We've got to turn that around. Got to turn that around.
Next question, then, is how can they suspend your license for life if they are only good for 4 years?
That's a good joke. Is that a joke? That should be in a joke book.
Okay. Now, as a follow-on then, I understand that the license is supposed to be for the privilege of using the roads for commerce. And I feel the license contract that we enter into is not valid, being without full disclosure, because they lead you to believe you need one to travel the roads, and who in their right mind would give up an unalienable right and make it a privilege? Any comment?
Right, and well, first of all, there is no contract at all. That doesn't exist, and you're right, there was no meeting of the minds. If I could know that I can go onto the road and drive and not be stopped and arrested for not having a driver's license, because they will do that. They'll do that if your driver's license is suspended. I mean, not suspended, but expired. Then, and for that purpose only, so not to waste my time in courts, I comply. I still fight them when I go to court in some of these violations, but it's just I don't have the time to spend that much time in jail. I got too many other things to do, so I give them their $50 or whatever, $100 a year, whatever it is, I don't know, and get their stupid license. And of course, the whole system was set up that once you do that, it's assumed at that point that you have an agreement with them and that you have to do this and, all that other stuff. Look, that's going to end when we get to the other side. If the people are going to step up and take this nation back and have government by consent again, then we're going to get these freedoms back right down to that level. But we don't need a driver's license to drive a vehicle. But that can't happen until the people get the backbone, because they don't believe they don't believe it, and you can't believe it without a backbone, without the knowledge. You're not going to get a backbone without the knowledge. That's what's going to give you. That's what's going to grow you a backbone. So the knowledge will give you the power, because knowledge is power, and the more people that have that knowledge collectively, then the more powerful we the people will be. And we can take this nation back, but only if the people have power. All right, next question.
Okay, John, that was the last question that I had.
Okay. Is Gerard, you still got your ears off? Are you here? Maybe someone might want to ding Gerard. Meanwhile, I'll continue going. Is Brent here? Yeah.
No, Brent is not here.
Okay, well, I'll start taking some questions until Gerard wakes up, and then if Brent comes in, we'll pass those over to him for a while.
So hey, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I'll pass the board over to you. I'll hang out for a while with you, maybe answer some questions with you, and when Brent comes in, we'll get him for the, we'll give him some time on the mic. There was a question that was brought up. Jan, can you read that question? And maybe you might want to respond to this, because I have very limited knowledge in this area. Jan?
Be glad to. Okay, it says, last week I heard Gerard mention again the consequences of the unvaccinated coming in contact with the vaccinated and subjecting themselves to secondhand exposure to spike proteins from the very breath of the vaccinated. This sounded pretty alarming because most people at work and travel are going to come into contact with others, and chances are that they are among those vaccinated. I have family and co-workers whom are vaccinated, and I do not scrupulously avoid them because both my job and family life warrant contact with them. My question is, can those who may be possible victims of the secondhand exposure anticipate the same fate and life expectancy of the said 2 to 3 years of survival?
Well, the so-called vaccine is not a vaccine. It's just a shot that doesn't even fit the definition of a vaccine. That's shedding a spike protein, which is a mutated form. Look, there's no COVID. There never was any COVID. It's a scam. It's the king. The king has no clothes. He's naked. So and it was just influenza in A and B, but they blew it into this virus thing, and that's why when you look at the total deaths for the year, there's no more deaths than we had last year. But you see, now that they got the vaccine out, the deaths are going up because you got two forms of death going on. You have the immediate results. Some people die right away after the vaccine from stuff like anaphylactic shock because they can't take what's in it. There's antifreeze in there, ethylene glycol, and that's a very thing that people become very allergic to. Not everybody can take it, and it all depends on where your health is, when you come into contact with all this. As far as the catching the spike protein from the vaccinated, that was, see, the vaccine is the bioweapon. That's what they were pushing for the whole time. And that's their population control and the eugenics. That's what they're hoping that will run through and take out everybody. Now, there are things that you can do to avoid that. To, you know, first of all, when you take the shot, you wipe out your innate immune system. What your innate immune system is those antibodies that your body makes that will react to any virus. And what, the reason that it gets knocked out is because this shot overwhelms and only lets the immune system respond to COVID. And it knocks your innate immune system out, which adapts to any kind of foreign object that comes into the body. So it's like you don't have an innate immune system anymore. And the bad thing about it responding only to the COVID is that it, what it does is it sets up a factory in your cells, and I mean, this is a very unscientific, you have to read the literature on how this works, but it tells your body to make the spike protein so that your body will make antibodies against the spike protein. So they set this factory up in your body. Well, the reason that kills people is, and this is why they didn't do the animal testing, because whenever they did animal testing, part of the test of testing a vaccine is you give the vaccine and you follow through and you wait, and then after they supposedly have immunity, you reintroduce the wild virus. And what happened in this mRNA shot is that when the wild virus came back through during the next flu season, that spike protein would turn on and you couldn't turn it off, and they all died. All the animals died, and now you're going to see the humans die of a cytostorm, of an immune system. You know, look, at any time that the body has to make an antibody against something it produces, that's a definition of autoimmune disease. That's when the body's fighting its own proteins and its own productions. That's autoimmune disease. That's cancer. That's leukemia. That's all these diseases that are out there. It's all autoimmune diseases. So what they're doing is they're giving you autoimmune disease. So anyway, I drink pine needle tea every day with fennel seed in it, because that has the acetic acid that fights that spike protein. I think you're very much better off. Now, I have some, I don't know if I should share my screen and show this, but there's some very, very good articles and websites that explain this. A matter of fact, not only this, but they're suing that Dr. Reiner Fulmick is suing the powers that be for crimes against humanity connected to this shot. And he's got hundreds and hundreds of experts that are testifying to the fact that this thing is a scam and that it's a bioweapon. And we have on Ollie's site, Video Sanctuary, he made a special URL that'll bring you right to the interview with Dr. Fulmick the lawyer Heinrich Fulmick and the doctor Martin, who is a medical he's got a degree in tracking the diseases and seeing where they came from. You got to hear his own introduction about how he came on to this while he was doing research, because, you know, the insurance companies and that use him to see what the etiology of a disease is, you know. So he tracked this from the beginning, and he found their own papers. And he found that they were patenting this thing years before, and months before it was even discovered they had patented the treatment. How can you have a treatment for a pandemic that hasn't even raised its head yet? When they applied for the patents, because it's all about money, they didn't bother being careful about how they put the patents in. So he uses their own data against them to prove that this thing is a scam. So you really need to educate yourself on this, because there's a lot of misinformation. And what's going to happen is this fall, now this summer, you know, every summer we have hay fever that comes in. People get coughs and colds and sneezing. They're going to call that variant one. And then come winter, when the flu comes in, they're going to say, oh, this is variant two or three. And they want to make everybody get a booster shot. This is ridiculous. I mean, we have people dropping dead all over the place with this whole COVID thing. There have been, you know, in the VAERS system, there's 45,000 people that have died already as a direct cause of the shot that they can directly say caused it. Now, that VAERS system, it's only between 1 and 10% accurate. So if there were 45,000 dead, it's more like 450,000 is what the real number is, and they're hiding it, and they don't want to talk about it. This is Bill Gates and Fauci and what's his name, the head of the WHO, Tetros, Andrinius Tetros. This is their doing. This is how their plan to run the world is. And they're going to lock us down, and you're not going to go anywhere without a vaccine passport and blah, blah, blah. So you better hope that we get this Trump thing straightened out, that he comes back in power and puts the end to this Orwellian lockdown that we're going to go under if they continue with this. Because, I mean, the masks are off right now. You know, the head guy for Pfizer came out. You see, look at, we're just learning about what really, they didn't even know everything about this. Well, at least if they knew, they didn't put it out there. They might have known, because they might have been experimenting on Africans. That's why Africa's so much against Bill Gates and his shots, because he's decimated them by experimenting with his vaccines. Now, the head of who used to be the head of Pfizer, he was a chief CEO of that. He was a scientist. He worked there for years. He worked for the pharmaceuticals for years. And he said, people that get the shot, he said, they're all going to be dead within 3 years. He said 2 to 3 years. And he said, and there's no hope for them. Well, I'm listening to Mike Adams, the health warrior, and he has a whole section on what to do with people who have taken the shot. Now, I think in my estimation of my reading, what happens is, if you can keep your immune system up, that when that variant comes around, when that flu comes around, if your vitamin D3 is up, and if you're taking these things that give you resistance, like fennel seed and pine needles and all that, that has ischemic acid, which suppress the spike protein that's put out. So if you can get through that flu season without getting sick, the more times you do that, they're of the opinion that even this DNA altering stuff is going to eventually work its way out. We know from GMO crops, which are basically the same thing. See, they're altering the DNA. What happens with the GMO crops, you can't save a seed from a GMO vegetable and grow it, because it has problems and it won't grow right. But they know that if you leave that thing alone and let it go, it eventually the DNA tends to go back to normal. So the idea is, if you can keep yourself alive long enough, that this whole spike protein thing will run out. The scientist, on paper, it says it will never run out, that you're dead and you're done, and that's why he made that remark. But they don't know for sure, and we're finding out more every day. So you have to keep up with these guys like Mike Adams, who are on it every day, and he's experimenting. He has a food laboratory. And he preaches, you know, diet and supplements and stuff to keep your health up. But in the meantime, it's very scary, because like you said, you're gonna come into contact with these people all day long, and they've had husbands whose wives got it, or even other people in the family, and they give it to their wives. Women are more vulnerable in as far as the reproductive organs. They tend to have problems in their uterus and their ovaries and that. They've had women whose whole inside of their uterus has sloughed off because their husband got the shot and they were in contact with them. There's all kinds of horrible stories about these side effects. Men tend to get the blood clots and the thrombosis and the heart attacks. I have a site here that I wanna start pushing it, because let me see, it's called COVID Long Haulers. There's a lot of doctors out there doing a lot of research right now, and this guy, he was having all these side effect people come to him, and he started doing his own research, and what he discovered is that when you get the shot, you get, well, pretty much, there's a percentage of people, it's a high percentage of the people that get the shot, you get what's called microscopic blood clots in your system that start clogging at the capillary level, and it's insidious. You can't see them. Any test that they do, there's one test. Hang on, I gotta find it here. Let me find it. There is a test that will, they have to look for it. If they don't look for it, they won't find it. Anyway, this doctor, he put a site out, and he realized that it's called long haul COVID. It's people that it's and that was Dr. Patterson. But I want to get his site here. Let's see. Just bear with me here. COVID Long Haulers. He has a site. And it's COVIDLonghaulers.com, just like that, spell it out, COVIDLonghaulers.com. And he calls it the Chronic COVID Treatment Center. And what they found out is people would get COVID, and then they would get better with treatment, but then it would come back. And they found out that if they did too much exercise or overdid it, it would relapse. And he's been treating it, and he also discovered this microscopic blood clots that eventually go into the heart and cause blood clots in the heart, and it goes into the brain and causes, you know, a stroke in the brain. So there is a test called Insulcline. Hang on, I gotta get my glasses on. And if you go on his site, he says his research prediction and diagnosis and treatment for COVID-19. Long hauler COVID is characterized by persistent after effects of COVID-19 infection that include fatigue, brain fog, shortness of breath, in addition to many other symptoms. While previously poorly understood, new research conducted by renowned pathologist Dr. Bruce Patterson and his team is helping to uncover the immunological causes of long haul COVID. This new research will provide critical light into how to predict, identify, and treat patients who are affected by it. Based on Dr. Patterson's research, under his guidance, a novel integrated chronic COVID diagnosis and treatment center was developed in partnership with predominant research facilities, clinicians, medical laboratories. Together, we are integrating world-class immunological lab testing, expert medical consultation, and patient consulting with the aim of predicting, diagnosing, and optimizing treatment for patients experiencing persistent symptoms following the infection of COVID-19. So then it says, get started. And you got, there's got two, it's got a flow chart. I am a patient, or I am a physician. If you're a patient, it said, would you like to get an in-cell Klein test? And then the next tab is register for the lab test or register for a telemedicine conference. And then there's another tab, I'm not sure. And, of course, if you're a physician, you go down the other side, would you like to collaborate with the COVID Long Hauler program? And then, you either click yes or learn more. So he's got a whole thing here, a whole flow chart about what happens when you get it. And down on the bottom of that long hauler's COVID is the interview between this Indian doctor. I don't know how you say his name. Something Dr. Breen. They got the YouTube thing over. Muhammad something. He's interviewing Dr. Bruce Patterson. That's a YouTube video, but it's embedded on this website. Very good. Very well done. So this is just some of the stuff that's going on. Also, the frontline doctors, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Lee Merritt, all those, they have a online call-in medical, you know, where you do the telemedicine. And my daughter called in, and they prescribed for her because she's in the restaurant bar business. She's a bartender, and everybody that comes in is either, you know, they're all vaccinated or whatever. And she was getting symptoms and that, crazy symptoms, and they gave her hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to take it prophylactically. You can take that every day. There's dosages that on the internet of you know, what the dosages are. If you call into the frontline doctors, I think it was $90 for the phone consult. And they have a lab. She said it's out of Florida, but I think it's also goes to Mexico to get the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, which both of those things have like a 98% success rate in treating this thing. I don't know what the success rate is with the spike protein, though. That's something that nobody knows. And you see, in medicine and in health, look, they've been trying to make something to kill everybody for years, and what they found out is you can't kill everybody. Everybody's immune system is not the same. It's at different levels. So one of the things they wanted to do was lower our immune system, and part of that is done through the American diet. That just lowers your immune system. And people on an American diet, they got high sugars and I don't want to say fats. It's actually this whole business about animal fat killing you and clogging your arteries, that's a lie. It's the vegetable oils that are killing us. It's the exact opposite they told us. Everything is opposite. You know, it's disgusting that you can't believe anything that they've said. So that was part of this program. I think it was Terry Moore sent me this, or no, not Terry, Francine sent me this cartoon. I think I should be able to share the screen and play that. It looks like something that they put out. I don't know when television, you know, was, you know, big in the homes, but I know that, you know, in the 30s and 40s, we only had these little TVs, and they had kind of these archaic cartoons, and this is like that with stick figures, and it's called How to Take Over the World, and it shows everything that's going on today. Create a pandemic, give people shots, give them fear, do this, do that, lock them down, this and that. And the guy's singing in this gruff voice. He sounds like Louis Armstrong almost. He goes, "Don't forget to put on your mask. Don't forget to." I mean, this cartoon must have come out in the 40s or 50s, maybe even before. So this is a long-term plan of the cabal to control and take over the world and get rid of 90% of the world's population. They are working to achieve the Georgia Guidestones, which says that we need to lower the world's 8 billion people population down to 500 million so that only the elite will be there and the rest will serve them. And that's what we're going through right now. This is insidious. It's disgusting. But you have to educate yourself, and you have to stay on top of it, you know. Anyway, I'm going to see if I can share my screen later and put some of this stuff up there for everybody to see. I don't usually have too much luck here with this business, but how many people we have in the I'm off of this page now because I'm hunting around here for the
four
stuff
in the
that
queue.
What's that?
We have four in the queue. That's what you're asking.
Okay, four in the queue. That's not too bad.
No.
Let me see. Okay. All right. John, I wanted to talk to you about what's his name, Dan there from North Carolina. He has some kind of plan. It's like multi-level marketing. He wants to release it with NLA. I got the email and read
it. He spoke a little bit to me about it, but I need more details.
Yeah, you and I need to talk about that, and we need to get Carl on it too, because basically, I don't know if it's good or bad, but you know, basically, he's going to use the NLA membership to get this thing going. And what it is you get paid. See, Facebook and that, they get your details and they sell it to these other companies and stuff, and you get nothing. So basically, you're going to get paid for the information that you put out there on the social media sites that they're creating. I don't know. He's going to have to explain that.
Why don't we discuss this privately and then see if it's worthwhile thinking about and talking?
Yes, and so I've been meaning to get a hold of you, and it's very busy. The other thing is my son's wife is in labor tonight, and if there's anything that's going on not right, they're going to want me to come, because you know how hospitals are. They try to push you into this and that, especially with this COVID business. So if anything bad happens, I'm going to leave, okay?
All right. Well, look, if I'm not in front of my computer, just ring me on my cell.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, there's so much to talk about. I don't even know how you could get this done in one meeting. There's so much stuff that people need to be on top of here besides everything else that we're doing. And it all ties in. Look, they've destroyed this country. They've destroyed our justice system and our very way of life, and just by locking us down and making us wear muzzles and all this other dehumanizing stuff, it's amazing. It's amazing how people have put up with it. Now they're going to do a second set of lockdowns, and if we allow them to do that, then shame on us. There are states and countries that didn't lock down and they had less deaths. Look, at none of this stuff is new or rocket science. Back in the last pandemic, what was that, 1918 or whatever, that's flu, they discovered then that when they masked everybody up, they had like it was either 15 or 1600% increase in cases when they started wearing masks, because what the masks do is you breathe that stuff out and they're an incubator. Your body is supposed to get rid of, that's how your body gets rid of it. That what they thought was a virus is the exosomes coming out of the cell, taking the poison out of the cell and encapsulating it, and you breathe it out into the air. And actually, that's also a part of herd immunity, because when the microphages get around a poison or something that's attacking the body, and then they encapsulate it into a cell. They eat it, and what happens is you breathe it out, and it's in a weakened state. Well, that's a vaccine. When you get that weakened, when somebody breathes on you and you catch that exosome coming out of them, and that gets into your body, you're not going to catch the cold, but it's going to activate your immune system to make antibodies against that pathogen, so that when you finally do come into contact with the full live pathogen, you already have antibodies and you won't catch it. It will not make an immune response on you. So I mean, that's why I went through the trouble. You know, when they were doing the polio vaccine, I didn't vaccinate my kids, only my oldest boy. He got the polio vaccine, and I went through the trouble of getting the Salk, which what they do is they take the polio and they kill it, and then they give it to you. And just because that protein that's going in there, the body recognizes it, and it makes antibodies to eat that up, but it wasn't live. When they started the sugar cube polio, which was the live polio, what happened is kids started catching polio from the vaccine and from other vaccinated kids. That's shedding, that's called. And that's basically what's going on now, but it's not really shedding because this is not a live vaccine. This is like nothing in nature. This is completely synthetic. It's like GMO is to regular stuff. So even though they're calling it shedding, it's not shedding. It's transferring. And it's, you get into this, we were just talking about lawyer talk. That's what they do. They call it this, but it's that, and nobody knows what it is. Well, what we know what it is a bioweapon, absolutely. And that's what it was designed to do, and we know that from their own paperwork. So I wouldn't take the vaccine. You'd have to kill me, and I'm not going to stay away from, there's already places started a while back. That guy with the gym in California, he found out that there is going to be this shedding of the spike protein from the shot. And he's the guy with the gym that got in so much trouble because he refused to close. And he said, look at what happens if one of my customers comes in and one of these vaccinated people give them the spike protein, will I be liable? And they said yes. So he's got a sign up that says no vaccinated people are allowed in here. It's the exact opposite of what they were supposed to be. They told you if you have the vaccine, you would be able to go and do everything. Now everybody that's catching the COVID, there was something like, I don't know what it was, 145 deaths recently in an area. And all but one of them was vaccinated. So it's only vaccinated people catching, they're dying because they're activating this spike protein, and they're calling it a variant, which is a lie. It was always going to happen. They created it. It's not a variant. And if you watch that Dr. Martin video, he tells you in no uncertain terms that it's not a variant, that there is no COVID and there is no variant, that it's all a lie. Just like everything else that they do. So I hope that answered your questions. That COVID Long Haulers is a very, very good site. And let's see here. I don't know. How do we put a URL out here on NLA? I guess I could just put it on the screen, share the screen, and put it up. Because Ollie's got this URL that takes you right to the video where you don't have to go through, because he's got if you go to Video Sanctuary and you put in COVID and then you hit videos, there's row 1, 2, 3. He's got a whole bunch of rows, all these different videos. What I did is I had him make me up a URL that takes you right to Dr. Martin's video without going through all that. So let me see if I can. On a different tab, a different screen here. Let's see. I know I have it, and we can put this out, and people can copy it here. Okay, actually, John, are you scaring your screen? Maybe you can turn your. No, you're not. You just have a. I want to be able to share my screen here with this. Let me just try it. Oh, I have to pick what I want, right? Well, I guess it would be my desktop, right? Which is what I have up there now. Let me see if this is going to do the deal. But if you...
Yep, that shared your desktop.
What are you looking at? I only see.
I'm seeing your entire desktop, Gerard.
Oh, you're not seeing this video, huh?
No.
Okay, so I clicked the wrong thing. So, hang on. Let me select items to share. No, I don't want my desktop. Here we go. This one and this one. Well, this is weird. You got to pick each screen that you're going to share. Okay.
Maybe you can only share them one at a time.
Let's see if that's going to work.
I see your browser. And
right.
It's on so, Romer, Reamer, Reiner.
Right. So this is the one. I don't know why this thing is right in my way here. Let me move it out of the way. I can't see what I'm doing. Okay. So this is a Sunfellow Notes. This is a very good website here. Sunfellow.com. Reiner Fulmich /suing/ the powers that be / for crimes against humanity /. That brings you to this screen that I'm on right here. Very powerful screen. I just found this before the show. This is the lawyer here, Reiner Fulmich. And if you go down, that's Dr. Martin. He lays it out like nobody I ever heard before. Really, really amazing work that he did. And then you got this other guy here. What an amazing doctor he is. I forget his name. Let's see. Peter McCulloch. This is Peter McCulloch. You know, all these videos are stuff that you should really, really watch. They're not that, like this one here is only 10 minutes and 58 seconds long. Some of them are an hour. I don't know if any of these are. That video that is on Video Sanctuary that Ollie put up there is just over an hour. With Dr. Martin, but you got the whole gamut here. This page should bring you right up to speed on where we are and what's going on. And here's, hang on a minute. Here's Video Sanctuary with this video, where this interview. That's you recognize him. That's the doctor, and he's interviewing. Dr. Martin, and this video, Ollie went through and cut all the German translation because this doctor was translating it into German because he's a German lawyer. I keep calling him a doctor. He's a lawyer, Dr. Martin, but he was translating it, and it was a pain in the neck because he'd talk, and then he had to put it in German, and it just made it. So Ollie cut all the German out of it, and it was still an hour and 21 minutes long, but a very excellent video. Let me see. Hang on if I can. This is Dr. Martin here. Ollie's got Q17 News Index. I don't know what that is, but I'll click on that in a minute.
No audio.
Anyway, when you go through here, he follows the money, and he shows you that it's all a lie, that it's all collusion, and that they were running these patents before the disease was even out. It's absolutely bombshell information right here. So I strongly recommend that you. This one is videosanctuary.com/ MART.html #demo. Now Ollie's got some other, hang on, he gave me some other URLs that he wanted me to go with, and I'm not sure what he was talking about. He just shot them up to me. Oh, he's got this common law Q news. I'm not sure what this Q17 news. Hang on a second. This is his other site, the Q17 News. And he's got the plan in Christian Patriot Network. So I think John started out with this stuff today, with this guy that goes through and tells all the baloney, and Trump's actually predicted it because it's part of the plan. And they know what the plan is. So, anyway, I'm sorry if you're not online, you're not getting this. So maybe we'll, I had talked to John last week. I was going to send him a a sheet of different videos with a short introduction, kind of like a overview. But what we'll do is we'll list those URLs on NLA's website so that you can get them. And I'll make sure that I get a hold of John, and I don't know what page he's going to put them on, but it's probably one of the health pages. And I'll try to include these things here, you know. Look, this is an hour 21. You should invest that hour and 21, listen to this, because it's that good. And you'll look at knowledge is power. And this thing, we're rolling with the punches, because as every day goes by, we learn more. You know, they put this out there without full animal testing, without full human testing. I don't know if they maybe illegally gave it to people. You know, these guys are the same line of people that were in Nazi Germany. This Dr. Martin says that all, and Fulmich there, the lawyer, said these big corporations are all in on it. All the big corporations have taken over the world, and we need to close them down, because they're the ones that are driving this. And it's the same families that were operating in the First and Second World War. This thing didn't just happen. As a matter of fact, where's that cartoon? I'm going to show you that cartoon that Francine sent me. Let me see if I can find Francine. Hang on a minute. That's this. Can I go full screen with this? Watch this. Early warning cartoon. And stuff goes fast. You got to pay attention. A weaponized influenza, it said. Now, I don't know what year this is, but you could tell by the cartoon that it was way. Flooding newspaper and radio with reports of a pandemic, of a flu.
We're not seeing it. Right.
You can't see. You got to scroll up. It's
think that was about 19.
I'm trying to show. I know why. Hang on. I'm sorry. Let me go back into my screen share. I have to tell it to share my Skype one, because you just sent me the cartoon in your Skype. So in order, I have to tell it. Hang on. Where are we? Right here, I have to tell it to share. Here, we don't need this. Let me do that. So I'm trying not to show too much there of your Skype there, Francine. Okay. Let's start over. Now you can see my screen, right?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Monday night at the movies. Here we go. An early warning cartoon. How to take over the world. You can see the quality of this cartoon. It looks like something from 1940. Introduce a weaponized influenza. Imagine that. Back in the 40s, flood newspaper and radio with death. Gee, are we having that? And the radio's talking. Shut down shops and stores. And this guy in the background that sounds like he's Louis Armstrong or one of those black singers from way back when. Some of you older folks, excuse this expression, might recognize this. He's going, and make sure you put on your mask. You think they just invented this? Now listen, here we go. Remember to put your mask on. Use law enforcement to stifle, I don't know, dissent. And they got the cops. Parade the sick and the dead.
They look like they're wearing gas masks in the background.
Here or something. I don't know what that is. There's the casket with the dead body. And this thing is gassing everybody as it goes by. It's gassing them with some kind of immunization or whatever. And I can't read that. I don't know what that is. It goes too fast and it's too blurry. And I don't know what that is. Some kind of a chemical bottle there that they're dragging down. Inject a vaccine. What did that say? Whoa.
And euthanize somebody.
Inject a vaccine to... It's so fast, I'm having trouble catching it. It's amazing to me that they're using all the terminology that we're using today.
Something though to
euthanize the old.
Yeah, euthanize the old. And here they are. Boop.
Give them a shot.
I don't know that is that new people coming into the world getting their shots.
They all get their shot.
The people who own the banks and now own the hospital, this is their plan to own you. So I'm telling you, this thing is at least 80 years old. This whole plandemic, scandemic that we are in at this right now, that's what it is. You know, it's ridiculous. Let me stop my screen share so that I can get my next screen up. But anyway, I got a lot of notes here. People shooting notes to me on Skype.
Gerard, a lot of these links for this are in the newsletter each week, like the one on Dr. Martin and patented genocide and so on.
Okay, well, everybody heard that, and thank you for that, because it's one of the hardest thing with this whole thing was to get information out. A lot. Look, Ollie and I went chasing these videos because they'd get up like that dot when that girl Millie put on her documentary and they took it down. The girl that they arrested her and her husband and took her kids away and everything for vindictiveness because she released it when they didn't want it released. That thing wasn't out there very long before they took it down. And we did capture it, and we have it up on Video Sanctuary. Of course, now, because of people like us doing that and other people that screen captured that stuff and started putting it out anyway, we've won the information war with them. See, they're losing because people have learned how to grab this stuff, record it, save it, and then they can re-put it out there and re-put it. And it doesn't matter how many times Facebook wants to undo it. It gets out there. And I tried to send something to this nurse I know that took the shot, and I'm trying to get her the Health Rangers site about what to do when somebody that's taken the shot. As a matter of fact, I should share my screen and show that one. That's an important one. And they won't let me send it immediately. It said, this is hurtful or some crap, you know. We're trying to save lives here, and they're telling me that it's hurtful. The Act of 1945 was what Governor Whitless was using, Heather says. I didn't catch that quite, but let me do this while I still can remember. I got so many screens open. I don't want to close them because I don't want to lose them, and I want to talk about them, but hang on a minute. Let's see. No, Brady, hang on. It must be on the other window. Hmm. it's not that one. It must be this one. I'm sorry. I got so much stuff open. What happened? Did I close it? Anyway, it's the Health Ranger from Brighteon. And it's called What to Do with Our Loved Ones Who Have Taken the Shot. No, bear with me. Maybe I did. Hang on, let me go through this again one more time. Here it is. All right, let me share my screen. Now, this particular one happens to be on BitChute. Let me get this up here. So, I mean, you listen to these attorneys and Mike Adams from the Health Ranger, and what Donald Trump and his people are saying, this is war. This is World War III. We better make no mistake about it. This is just because there's no bullets flying. This is a different type of war. It's an information war. So let's see.
No, Gerard. The casualties are going to be the population that don't pay attention.
Yeah.
It's not an information war.
It's a disinformation war. There you go. Okay, you see my screen here? Is it sharing now? Let me see. No.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so you see this 2021 HHR special report, how to save the life of a family member who took the vax. That's on BitChute. And the URL is bitchute.com/video. Oh boy, I need my glasses to read that. Hang on just a second. So I'm sure that Jan will put this in the next newsletter for people that want it. /video MILRD capital KLY all capital small O M capital M3I. That's it. /. That's so weird. I don't know. And I don't know if you don't put them in uppercase or lowercase, you won't get it right probably. So anyway, that brings you to here. And this is a only a 15-minute report called Survival Nutrition. So he gets probably right down in there, down and dirty, and gives you some of the quick stuff. And maybe I didn't listen to this. I don't know. There's a lot of different stuff in here. Even you got to read the comments too. Now, see, this guy saying, Dr. Tenpenny already said if you got the shot, there's no way to stop what will happen. She said there are ways to slow it, but it will eventually get you. She said the only thing she can help is the extreme fatigue that many are getting. You know, and see, because this stupid shot, it actually alters your mRNA, which alters your DNA. It's insidious. And Dr. Tenpenny, she's very, very smart. She has cataloged, well, I don't know now, but I mean, this was over a month ago, 10 different ways that this shot attacks you. So like that one doctor there with the COVID long haulers, he's only showing the one path, which is microscopic blood clots at the capillary level that build up and build up and build up until eventually they break loose and they clog veins and arteries, and you end up with thrombosis of the heart, or you end up with a stroke in the brain. And what happens is that is a given guarantee. If you got those microscopic blood clots, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to build up and build up until they kill you. And you're probably going to get symptoms in between them getting to the point where they're going to kill you. You're going to have pains in your arms and your legs and all these other strange pains, because as that stuff starts to clog, you know, this whole business with this spike protein is that it causes coagulation, basically. And that's why when they took people and put them on the ventilators, they were killing them, because the blood was coagulating the lungs, and they're forcing this stuff in there, and they just kill them quicker with the ventilator, when all they needed to really do was give them oxygen. What's that? Oh, somebody's bleeding. Sorry, that's okay. So there's differences of opinion out there. I think if you took the shot, you got a lifelong battle to go. Just remember that everybody's different. There's nothing that's set in stone here. You know, like I said, you know, when they tried to make a biological weapon that would kill everybody, they figured out really quickly that that won't work. That there's always some people that come out of it and survive, because God gave us an amazing immune system that they can't get around. So it's very important to be doing stuff like taking vitamin D3 every day and zinc every day. I have, and the health ranger there, this guy here on Brighteon, he does the special reports, HHR special reports. He tells you, and actually Sherry Tenpenny did also, how you can make your own hydroxychloroquine using grapefruit peels and lemon peels, and boil them for 3 hours and strain it off. And Mike Adams said, heck, I'm going to put them in an espresso maker, and I'll make it in 7 minutes, because the espresso has high pressure and high temperature. So that's what the last thing he was experimenting on. I haven't been back to see how he did with that. But, you know, he has a multi-million dollar food lab where he can test. He tests for, like, GMOs and all this stuff. So I trust him. When he comes out with something, he's very knowledgeable. He's not just shooting from the hip. This guy puts his money where his mouth is. So I suggest that everybody goes and follows him on Brighteon. Let's see. This is Alex Jones spouting off. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Okay, that's that one. Let me see something here. Oh, you're probably not seeing that because I didn't tell it to share it, right? Hang on just a second. Let me see if I can...
I have your browser on BitChute.
No, I have to tell it. I have to tell it to go to the other pages. This is a pain, huh?
Sometimes you can go back, back arrow, if it was on here before.
Oh, well, I don't want to. Let's see. Let me select again. I mean, I think it's going to share everything if I tell it to. So as I switch the screens, it should. Let's see. I got. I don't know if it's going to. Okay. Is it sharing now? Do you see my screen?
I see a Brighteon link, live daily broadcast.
Yeah. So see these ones that say HHR?
Yeah.
Mike Adams is on Brighteon. You can go in there and put Mike Adams also. and get all his back stuff, and that's what I would do. He's got a lot of good stuff. You know, this is a lot of his stuff that has to do with, well, this isn't only his stuff. This is just what's on Brighteon. But he's specifically on Brighteon. So that's all I can, you know, that's the best I can tell you. Let's see, that's, are you seeing this 50 steps? Is that showing up? Okay, there you go. See, this is another one. And over here on the side, you see all these situation updates. Very good stuff. He's very, and he's fun to listen to. He's got a good sense of humor. He pokes fun on a serious subject. You know, he does some comic relief. He's kind of neat to listen to, you know. I mean, he not only does he do health, but he does political. Like right here, this is one of his political ones. If I click this, it's not gonna show it though, huh? I see it won't go. Here it goes. Are you seeing this guy with his mouth open here?
Yes, I am. June 17, 2021.
Yep, this is National Security Apparatus in total panic as election audit results are near. He's saying that they're scared. That election stuff that they're doing is going to be the death of them because they got all the information. And then you get all the rest of the reports, like here, government vaccine death squads now being launched in New Zealand and the USA. I mean, I'll tell you what, I don't know what a vaccine death squad is, but if they come to my door, they're going to die. I don't care. You could see all the news here. So I strongly suggest that everybody go over there and look at that stuff and read it and educate yourself. Knowledge is power. Get on prophylactic, you know, zinc, D3, ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, ivermectin and even hydroxychloroquine, you know what you got to do to poison yourself with hydroxychloroquine, the amount that you have to take? And they made that bullcrap report out. They said, it's dangerous, it'll kill you. And they took and they went into a lab right away and they poisoned some animals by overloading it, giving them like the equivalent of a I don't know what, you know, like a whole truckload of hydroxychloroquine to kill them. And they said, look, it's dangerous, it kills you. I could shove water down your throat enough and kill you. You know, water's dangerous, you know. It can kill you. That's right, it can. But ivermectin, I don't know that there's even an amount that you could take that would kill you. But hydroxychloroquine, they did document some overdoses. But in order to overdose, you got to be like a jackass, okay? That's all I'm going to say. It's like you have to just keep taking it like every hour. So, and, you know, when they use it with COVID patients, especially when they use it early, it's got a 98.99% effective rate. Same thing with ivermectin. So everybody thinks ivermectin is a cattle wormer. It is an animal wormer, but they don't even understand completely how it works. They actually found that it is effective on Ebola. It's got something to do with the cell wall and how it stops these things from permeating your cells at the molecular level where the mitochondria are and all that. So if you don't understand that biology, you can get, you know, it can sound like a bunch of gobbledygook. But ivermectin is like a miracle drug. And the one guy I was listening to, he said it's a molecule. It's not like what your normal dewormer would be. He said, think of it as a molecule because it works on the molecular level. So, anyway, you get an idea. So, I'm going to go over now. I'm going to stop my screen share, and I'm going to go on into the, maybe I'll just leave that. And I'll go into, I don't know if I can. I've got to get back to my web controls here. Am I sharing my web controls now or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, well, I don't want to share that. I want to give you something to look at while we're going through the questions before we run out of time here. But just suffer with me. It'll be better next time. I've never actually done the screen share that much on this system. Let me see. If I go select items to share and I take off. All right. Take that off. Now what are you seeing? You seeing the last website that was up there?
No, I'm seeing the web controls
panel. Yeah.
Oh, imagine that. So I don't know why that doesn't work. I took off the web control panel, but it's still showing it, huh?
It's still showing. It's still sharing.
Hmm. Let me try something. Wait a minute. What are you seeing now? You're seeing this?
Reiner.
Huh?
Reiner.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but I can't go back to... If I go to web controls, you're going to get that. I think. So you're seeing Reiner's. Are you still seeing Reiner's?
No. How to save the life of a family member.
All right, but you're not seeing my web control.
No.
Okay, so good. I'm going to leave it on that while I go through the questions and answers, because I think we've got about a half hour left. And I'm going to go ahead and do David from New York. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, David.
Oh, question. Hello, you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. John was mentioning that the book is ready. When are we having a signing day? When's he signing the books?
That I know that they're out and we're sending them out. He's got people working on it. But as far as a book signing, he did mention that a week or two ago, and I don't know what he said, if he actually made a date or not. I think he wants to wait till he gets a little bit more of them out, because he doesn't want to do a book signing until most of them have been disseminated, you know?
Uh-huh, I see. Okay, and you know my name. Could you get my book out this week, please?
Well, you got to talk to John. What's your name?
Kevin, and we're going to go with the C on the last one.
Okay, Kevin C, very good. I'm sure he knows who you are.
Okay, all right, good enough then. I'll give him a call. Thank
okay.
you, my friend.
Yeah, all right.
Bye.
We have Veronica from PA, and Terry, I'll show your screen there in a minute. I don't want to get off of this.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How you doing?
So you know who I am.
I absolutely do.
And as you were talking, I went ahead and I sent you an article, and it came up on Skype. I'm sorry about that kind of
stuff.
That's
okay. I don't mind, but I got you. Everybody's sending me articles tonight, you and Terry and everybody. So I couldn't keep up with it. I tried to, you know, it blurbs up quick and I can read it. But
well, it was very relevant because in 2009, when Obamacare was being discussed in the ACA, okay,
mm-hmm.
what was being discussed on Wall Street was investing in debt. The younger the policyholder dies, the more money the investors make.
I read that. I did read that.
That was in 2009. I think I sent it to you and John before, but that's
probably where I probably read it, because you sent it to me, right?
Probably, and also
I get a lot of my good stuff from you. I'm sorry if I don't always give you credit, because you send me so much stuff, And then I think, you know, it's on my computer and I forget where I got it from, but I appreciate it, believe me.
Yeah, and it started out when I was one of the first ones in, obviously, the chat and, or not chat, but the thing. And so anyway, what I wanted to do is bring up some talking points. And at first it was just one talking point I wanted to bring up, but now it's up to four because of the conversation has gone.
Okay. So, well, I'm glad we animated you to that point, but go ahead.
Well, I will just go ahead with the talking points, okay? And number one is the Declaration of Independence. John read that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found in when I hear people talking about the virus and the vaccinations and this, that, and the other thing, and they say, oh, you know, I want to see how this goes and this, that, and the other thing. I said, you know, I said the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence is rarely quoted anymore. They usually start with, we hold these truths to be self-evident. But they don't say what truths, right? Or they do, but, you know.
Are you being a lawyer? No.
It's for their creator, and their creator, a lot of them, you know, although we hold these truths to be self-evident, our creator was by charter. And then there were those who said, because we hold these truths, of the first paragraph. And the first paragraph, when I quote it, I add a 1, 2, 3, because the problems were defined and described and the solutions given. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to do what? Number one, dissolve the political bands which connected them with another. Number two, and I put it in the present tense, assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle you. And you already describe a lot of it because of the way the body works. It will fight off all this stuff if we allow it to. And number three, a decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that you should, number three, declare the causes which impel you to the separation. So that is number one talking point. Put the 1, 2, 3 in that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, memorize it to the best of your ability, and tell it to the people. You would be amazed at the face of the people I say it to. I mean, it's like, whoa, does it really say that? You know?
They're so ignorant today.
Well,
you know, they believe the Second Amendment is for hunting. They said, no, it's for killing politicians. I'm sorry. You know, that's the raw truth of it. It's to make sure that we can resist a tyrannical government. And even with that, it's going to be tough because they have all this high-tech crap. The only thing is we outnumber them 800 to 1. That's the good part of that.
Sure, but that's talking point number one. It's the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Talking point number two is the 1787 Constitution. We, the people of the United... What? Look at the word states in the 1785 dictionary and the 1828 Webster's dictionary. It has one definition, nobility. We, the people of the United Nobility, in order to form a more perfect union for ourselves and our posterity. And when you look at the definition in 1785 and the 1828 Webster's Dictionary for esquires, you will see that they are the younger sons of noblemen forever. Okay? So that ties into what John was saying about the bar. And he was talking about contracts. And contracts, of course, offer an acceptance, right? And there is, when he was talking about the driver's license, offer acceptance and also there's consideration. So you pay for your identification, and who do you belong to now? A license, by the way, is something that's required to do something that is otherwise illegal. That's right there in Bouvier's Law Dictionary. And also, as far as, well, that knowing that, the posterity of the nobility are esquires, I mean, that ties into what he was saying about the bar and shut them down, because it's been constructive fraud since that preamble was written, when you stop and think about it, because when... And he mentioned the 17th Amendment, all right? The 17th Amendment, and now they took out a contract with us. They said, oh, for your full faith and credit, we will give you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Just come on over and sign here or check this little box to say you are a U.S. citizen, right? And the 13th Amendment says there shall be no involuntary servitude, comma, except as duly convicted of a crime within the United Nobility or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And the second section of that is rarely read, is that Congress, it was the Whigs and the Tories back in the 1700s, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees back in the first century, and today it is the Democrats and the Republicans shall have the power to enforce this by appropriate legislation. So if they're not enforcing involuntary servitude, what are they enforcing? Come on, Gerard.
Yeah. Voluntary.
Yes. Okay, so that's the 13th. Reconstruction. Now they, in their preamble, they have in their preamble that a more perfect union, what kind of a government did they like back then? Feudalism, right? So what do we have now with the 20th Amendment? Corporate feudalism. But getting back to the 17th Amendment, the 17th Amendment came into being in 1913, the same year as the Central Bank Act or the Federal Reserve Act, okay?
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff came in then.
Yes. So
when you go to court, one of the reasons they believe they have jurisdiction over you is because you volunteer it. Mm-hmm. You give it to them. And that's that whole voluntary, they're going to enforce voluntary servitude. So you have to be very careful about how you conduct yourself going into their courts.
Well, sure, but if you do not volunteer for servitude, you're going to be duly convicted of a crime. And
right.
Here's why with the 17th Amendment, okay? Because the 17th Amendment, when the legislators put the 17th Amendment in, they breach their contract,
right.
Article 1, Section 3, because
right.
The Senate of the United States shall be composed of senators from each state chosen by the legislature thereof. So the legislature, the people who are in the legislature, including the senators, were already directly elected by
right.
the people.
Right.
So it didn't need a direct election of senators. So
and they, what they did is they made it so that we can't take them out at will the way it used to be.
Exactly. And the thing is that when they did that, when they breached Article 1, Section 3, what happened is the 10th Amendment was nullified. We have had no representation in Congress, in the Congressional Senate, that for the advice and consent of who they're putting into federal position, federal judges, you know, the federal judges. So therefore, we've had no separation of powers since the 17th Amendment. Senators have come in and systematically removed judges from the system that would...
But, you know, it's taken them this long to get to this point because people believe they were free. And that got in their way. Just the belief of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has stymied them. They have not been able to take away all of our rights as much as they have today up until this point. And you're right. They came in. They were in there from the beginning with the Judiciary Act. They lost all their authority with the Judiciary Act.
Exactly.
That was treason. And so we haven't really had a real Congress, Senate, or government since then.
Exactly.
If you think about it. So,
but even before then, we didn't have what we anticipated we had because of the ambiguities in the wording of that.
Well, that's fraud. When you have a contract and if you don't have full disclosure, it's fraud. And fraud vitiates everything.
There you go. So, come on. This is something for the NLA to take care of, right?
Yeah, well, what are we going to do? Go in their court? We have to look at this. Is going to be a very
claim of cognizance. Claim
right.
of cognizance.
Right.
That no other court can hold PICA. And if you look at the PICA, and I put it online, actually, it's in integrity training. It's my blogspot. It's called the ultimateweapons.blogspot.com. But what I'm saying is that we, the people, in that PICA, that typeset that was used,
mm-hmm.
in what is in the archives for the you know, in the 10 square miles, but the 13 colonies at that time, the ones that put it in their newspaper, it says we, comma, the people. It's not the big PICA, and
right,
it's not
right.
all, you know.
Well, you know what? That's probably a good discussion that we can plan on having. I got two more people I want to get, is why I'm getting to them.
I want you to get to them, too, because I don't want them waiting as long as I did.
Yeah. So this is a good discussion, but it's longer than what we have right now, okay?
Right, but I hope the people got some talking points out of it. So.
I'm sure they did. Anybody that's paying attention should have, anyway.
So, thank you, Gerard, for giving
okay,
me
the time. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Veronica.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Okay, Debbie, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
I absolutely can.
Okay. Actually, I had a couple questions. Let's see. Oh, and to piggyback on some of your comments, Gerald, Bill Thornton, he's in the civic class here in L.A., and he says that people need to sign driver's license and things like that so they can use their driver's license for several things, like to cash checks, for identification, that kind of stuff. So he says to... when you sign your driver's license, to sign capital U and capital D for under duress. And then he says, with that, you want to put the number, and don't quote me on these numbers. They might not be right, but I think they are. The number 1-205, and then the number 1-207. Now, I didn't look those numbers up, but there's some...
Yeah, those are part of UCC, and I'm going to tell you... a lot of the clerks will not let you do that. I know.
But they have no right to tell you how you can sign your name.
Well, it's a battle. Everything's a battle. So if you get somebody that's not paying attention, you know. So I don't know what good that's going to do for the police officer on the road. He has no idea.
It's about like when you go to court, so that you can show that.
The judges would know if you got away with it. The judges would know. Well, you say, well, look at what it says here. It says this. But I think that they've gotten smart over the years, and what they did was they would send these clerks to school and the judges too. They have judges schools. I can run from judge. And I can get elected, and then I can sit there. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they send me to school on how to be a local town judge, which as far as John is concerned, he doesn't even believe that they have that authority. That's an administrative court. They have no right to be pulling us into them. But besides the fact, is they do put people in jail, and they do adjudicate, and they do send them to these schools, which I would like to go to one of them. I don't know why. Got to be a secret school since my tax dollars is paying for it.
Yeah.
So I would like to sit there, but they tell them how to deal with constitutional people and the Moors that come in. These judges have a certain line that they go through to trap them.
Yeah, well, that's what's being taught on the website the civics course here at Emily.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so they do prepare them for all that stuff, and you know, if you're good, you can outdo the judge. And what I was going to say is they were very conscientious about it a few years back, but I think that they, just like the whole system's breaking down, I don't think, you know, with the COVID and all that, they're not getting their classes anymore. Everything, even this big new world order that they put in, it is dysfunctional. They don't have the power they want you to believe they have, because their own systems are dysfunctional. You know, they may have great weapons, but they're broke. They're not going to shoot you from the satellite because it cost them X many millions of dollars to do it. And the only way they're going to do that is you got to be some kind of really, you know, top person that they want to get rid of.
You know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. All they are doing is bullying everybody around.
Right. It's all smoke and mirrors with them. If everybody got out, if we all went out with just slingshots, they'd be done. Do you know they outlawed slingshots in New York State? You're not allowed to own one?
I'm not surprised.
I mean, this is from years ago. And I think, you know, it's the David and Goliath thing, I think. Because, they're silent and they're deadly. You know, yeah. I mean, you shoot a gun, it makes a lot. You take a slingshot with a nice big stone and hit some guy in the head with that, he's done.
Yeah, my husband's thinking about straws. Shooting stuff through straws. I guess they're darts or something. I don't know. Some tribes used to do that. But
what was that word? I didn't.
You know, like blowing stuff through straws.
Oh yeah, like a blowgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are outlawed, but they'd be easy to make and easy to get.
Well, we were making them here, just playing around in the shop. We had some conduit, and I take this little welding rod, and you sharpen them up. And then what you do is you take a piece of paper and you twist it around the end, you make a cone out of it, and you glue it on there. And boy, I'll tell you what, you blow that, it's about 6 foot long, you blow that into the trunk of a tree, you can't even pull it out without a wire.
Yeah. But so, and then the other thing I wanted to piggyback on you is I've seen a list of purchases that different, you may have seen this too, that different countries have, where they purchased the COVID test prior to 2019.
Yes, that's right. That's another thing that this Dr. Martin has picked up on.
Yeah.
With the paperwork trail, he's got all this evidence that just buries them. How could you test for COVID when it wasn't even discovered yet? But yet you got a test that you had. What's that all about? I mean, come on, how stupid can we be?
It's so outrageous.
It is.
Oh,
it's time to wake up.
I'm sorry. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You ready for my question? Okay. So with Biden, to me, he's just a thief and a criminal. He stole the president's seat, and I guess we're proving that now. But besides that, Biden and the politicians, I mean, they've been threatening the people. They're violating, most, if not all, of our Bill of Rights. And I'm wondering, they're breaking their oath, are they still officially hold those seats?
No, listen, the whole government has no authority, as truth be known, because they're bankrupt. There's a whole other thing about them, the bankruptcy and 1998 and all this other stuff. Because they went bankrupt for the third time, and they were getting ready to let England take us over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a guy that secured the flag and that and put a stop to it. It's a whole other story that's going to come out here very shortly. So technically, none of these government agencies have any jurisdiction or authority over you. Not the state police, the local police. When you have a bankrupt corporation, they cannot contract with you. They're bankrupt.
Well, besides that, they're breaking all their oaths.
That's right. Well, it's treason. It's treason.
So we're government. We're government.
They're going to get away with it as long as we let them. You understand? What? Remember that movie about the ants and the grasshoppers?
I didn't see it.
It was a, I don't know, an animation that came out couple of years ago, and the grasshoppers were using the bugs as slaves, the ants, and he said, we can't let them know that they outnumber us 800 to 1.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's where we are.
Yeah, I see that. So, but I'm just trying to get really clear on this because I'm learning a lot on the website. I'm taking all the courses. And so then I say, so where am I at? I don't know why Trump declared this pandemic. Has anybody ever really seen any proof that there's a reason to declare a pandemic? We should be in an emergency for
It is not a pandemic. They changed the meaning of pandemic so they can call it a pandemic. Just like they changed the meaning of vaccine so they can call this shot a vaccine. This is not a vaccine.
But none of us
are speaking. It's all magic words, you know?
We all know in life we haven't seen any proof. So since we haven't, so are we governmentless? We don't have a government, a working legal government?
Technically, no. Technically.
Okay.
We're under martial law or whatever else you want to call it. It's not, we're under capture, so to speak. And it's going to last until the people say enough. That's what they fear the most. Mm-hmm. But look, I want to get to Heather Lee. I don't want to wait.
I'm done. That was my last question.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. Heather Lee, are you there?
Oh, I'm sleeping.
I hope it was good.
No.
I'm a new grandfather, I just found out. The baby came. Okay.
Yeah, the question is, I just need some input here. We've got troops in Michigan who are under fire of a mandate, vaxxed or what, firing squad or something, and the military bases here, and they're calling me asking for help, and I've already given them quite a bit, but I would like a kind of consensus and some input.
Well, back up, because what'd you say? You have some troops?
Yeah, and military troops in different bases in Michigan are being mandatorily told that they have to take the vax, and there are sergeants and groups of soldiers that are saying absolutely not, and so I've got a call, and they've asked me to input. And
I'm gonna tell you what I know as of today, because this thing, it changes all the time. Right now, they absolutely cannot, and there is no legal standing whatsoever. I don't believe that there's ever a standing that they can tell you to put something in your body you don't want.
Right.
But because this is an experimental vaccine, it falls down on a number of things. It was given emergency use under the fact that there was a pandemic and that there was no treatment, okay? So they allowed it to go ahead as an emergency use only, and, you know, Trump helped that by pushing away all the testing and stuff that they would have normally had to do. And so emergency use and no other treatment. Well, fact is there is no pandemic. We know that now. There never was. The next thing is we know there's treatment for so-called COVID, which they've never isolated. There's no such thing. It's influenza A and influenza B. That's the long and the short of it. And this vaccine is still under an experimental moniker, so to speak, and they want to get it off experimental, and they're pushing to have it not be experimental by October, which is ridiculous because they haven't done anything different and people are dying all over the place. If they're still giving this vaccine in October, they need to cease and desist like right now.
Well, I get all that. Now, what I'm after, I've already given.
It's not going to, look, if they take those guys to court, try to court-martial them or whatever, you got this German lawyer that's going to, they're going to be on trial in like a Nuremberg trial court. That's what's going down. That's the long and the short of it. And
yeah,
if
I've
they're
going
to, they should contact him.
Yeah, okay. Can you send me that in Skype?
I'm sure Jan's going to give you I'll send it to you. I could send you the website.
I just need it quickly. They're confronting this right away, and they're having to, there's a group of them in one of the bases that are coming right up smack against them and saying no, and but they just need, you know, I've sent them the Robert Kennedy's supposed Supreme Court ruling, and, you know, of course the mainstream media saying, oh, he didn't win anything, and I have, you know, I'm trying to find out what the judgment was for that Supreme Court ruling. I can't find it. If anybody knows where that's at, that'd be great. I went on Brighteon and got the interview with Robert, but I don't see where there's a, I can't find the ruling. And they kind of need that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Nuremberg code, they have that. I sent them that. I also sent them virologist, worldwide virologist that actually worked for Gates, Van somebody. Anyway, I sent that whole paper. I downloaded that a long time ago. And warning of the ins and outs of what that is exactly.
That Portugal declared that MMR test invalid, that they're not allowed to use it in Portugal because they said it doesn't work. They made them take the, whatever it was, 19,000 or more people that they had listed as COVID, and they had them reverse their death certificates because they were using that PCR test, which is absolutely invalid.
Yeah.
For detecting it. And then they said, so there was only 154 actual COVID deaths. And then they ended by saying, but we don't even know that because there's no such thing as COVID. They've never isolated it. So,
Getting down to this, what I'm looking for, Gerard, if you don't mind, is I'm looking for some input constitutionally. It comes right down to the Constitution. What are they violating? What specifically can you help me nail this out of the Constitution that they can use?
They don't follow the Constitution. They care less because Nikki said, they're not operating under it. And mm-hmm. and especially, you know, you're in a bad situation when you're a troop because you're in voluntary servitude. You gave up a certain amount of your unalienable rights.
And they think that they have the right over you, but this is where the Constitution comes in, because they're going to enforce it, because we just enforced it in the state of Michigan. That's what I Skyped you about, because Governor Whitless was just taken down, stripped of her power of a 1945 Act statute that was put in place for such a time as this. They've never used it until now.
It was a statute what? In her favor or in the people's favor?
It was in her favor. That's what made her a Nazi. She had that Nazi power over Michiganders.
Oh, that's like them trying to use what was that act that they tried to get Trump and Flynn on. Never been used.
No, and this is unbelievable because it's a seizure of guns and everything. It's a seizure of guns and controlling the traffic.
Well, you can't suspend the Constitution by making an act. It's null and void.
I know it.
Marbury versus Madison. Go on Marbury versus Madison.
I'll send it to you.
Huh?
Anyway, I'll send it.
It says it had no power, confers no power. You don't have to obey it. What I would tell them to do is get together and start their own little army there, get an insurrection going. I mean, they're gonna stick something in you or fight to the death. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sign this paper that says that you'll be responsible if it kills me.
Well, right, and I have all the books and everything, and I could go through, but I just thought quickly,
they need a sheriff.
I realize. Okay,
that trumps everything. He could go in there and say, if you touch that guy, I'm going to arrest you.
Well, maybe Dar can troop up there, but it's not in his district, and that's a problem.
I understand, and it's a problem we have. We really need to push the sheriff thing, and we need to get them off their butts. And if they don't get off their butts, we need people that will step into place, and you don't need law enforcement knowledge for that. You need constitutional knowledge is all you need.
Well, you know, they came in and they sabotaged the Sheriff's Association, and so that they threatened or paid off some of the sheriffs, and they bullied Dar.
Yeah, they threaten them and they pay them off, but any sheriff that ever stood up to the federal government, guess what happens?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Always back down.
Right, right. So anyway, it's getting back right down to the Constitution again. Is there an amendment, or I know that, you know, I guess I could pull it out and read it line upon line, but what specifics could be applied?
There's probably more than one, but our forefathers knew. Matter of fact, I forget which one it was that he said, if you let them do this, they'll tell you what you can and can't put in your body. That was one of our forefathers. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I would quote, him. Now, I don't know what, you know, look at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, what section and verse of the Constitution is that in? It's actually not the Constitution. It's the Bill of Rights.
No.
The Constitution, actually, it's both, because you can probably go in there and say, you don't have, this power was not granted to you, you see?
Yeah.
So if it's not granted,
John
John
is not around. He's probably went to bed. So
yeah, well, I'm sure we can get a hold of him, and he could give you more specifics, but I don't think that you even need to be that specific.
Well,
to be honest with you.
With the military, you've got to cram it right up their nose.
Well, yeah, but I would cram it up their nose as the whole thing, the whole Bill of Rights, the whole freedom thing. It is the whole Bill of Rights in the Constitution. I think Nikki has a good handle on it. If you want to get some language, I would get with Nikki and ask her what's the language that you would put in there to be specific with the military, how they're violating your not your constitutional rights, your unalienable rights.
Unalienable,
the Constitution,
right. Yes, right.
Just the contract. And if it's not specifically in there, they can't do it. And that's what's going on. It's like a negative, you know what I mean? And I see no, when you do a negative avertment on a legal document, that's what I would do. You know, I would do negative avertments on that particular issue. I think Nikki could give you the language better, you know, because she's been doing.
Well, I don't know how to get a hold of her.
Well, I can put you with her. I'm
Is
sure
she
that.
On Skype?
Yeah, she's on Skype. Yep. As a matter of fact, you guys should be buddies.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
Because together you become powerful.
Yeah.
You should be sharpening each other.
Now.
Steel sharpens steel.
Yeah, that's right. It does, and it's really good for you.
Okay.
You have a cohort in crime. Anyway, so.
What's your Skype name, Heather Lee? I know.
It's just Heather Lee.
Heather Lee. Lee. So I'll see if
Heather Lee. Heather Lee Yorty.
I'll see if Nikki can't send you an invite so that you guys can talk on Skype. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
So if you see something in your Skype, make sure you click on it.
Okay, and two, you know, you hear my Skype. So, anyway, yeah, just to let you know, the victory was that, you know, this whole thing, she was stripped of her power. It's just the most delightful thing in the world. I'll tell you what, she was just stripped. They nullified, the senators nullified the Act of 1945 and this power-hungry act that she utilized as a sword against Michigan, and they deemed, what they did is they didn't go so much after her, they went after the act and killed it by judging it as unconstitutional, and that was the verdict, unconstitutional.
That covers everything, doesn't it?
And she couldn't. She can't appeal it.
That's good.
So
she's saying right now? I'm melting.
I was just going to say, I think she's a reptilian.
Yeah. Well,
look at her. Just look at the demon in her eyes.
Yeah.
She's jumping out. She's put there.
Nikki says, when silver was removed from the coin and the military went off, the military became a mercenary force which is obligated to serve the corporate interest on a foreign soil. Article 1, Section 10 was breached by the legislators. Just food for thought. You should get with Nikki. As a matter of fact, just put in Nikki and send her an invite on your Skype.
Well, let me see. Is it just Nikki?
N-I-K-I. That's all it is.
I'm right here. Let me just do it really quick.
N-I-K-I. I'm giving Nikki work. But I know she's got some good language that she could give you. And she already gave you some here with this.
Yeah, she's already listening here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
And yours is just Heather Lee, is it Heather Lee and your last name?
I think it's my whole name. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't talk to myself. See if you got it. Okay. No, this isn't the right one. This is Romania. I got the wrong one.
Nikki's in Romania.
Oh, there's an Israeli one, there's a Japanese one, and there is a Romania one.
Really?
So there's no others.
Well, it just says on my thing, it says Nikki. Create a group.
There's Nikki with a heart.
I don't know that that's her.
Well, why don't you send it to my Skype first, her Skype?
All right, I'll see what I can do. It's kind of strange that.
She's from Romania. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, maybe they got some good advice too.
Yeah, maybe they're over there. Man, we want to be free like you.
And yours is Heather Lee with URT after it, capital YORTY.
Yeah, that's my whole name. Heather Lee is one word.
And your little circle comes up, capital HY.
Yeah, that's it. That's
So I don't know why you can't find Nikki, but I'll, if she could look for yours too, Heather Lee Jordy.
She just contacted me, I got it.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're
it's past midnight, bewitching hour.
Yeah. And
I got a call about
my
10-pound grandson, so.
Yeah, well, that's congratulations to you. Praise be to God.
Thank you very much, yeah.
May the child be blessed, and the mother be blessed, and you be blessed.
And poor kid, I don't know. We got to straighten this world out, because when he becomes aware, my goodness, the world, I don't know what kind of world he's going to have to live in. Hopefully we have it all straightened out.
Make him a soldier in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
All right. God bless you. Good night, then.
Yeah, good night. And I'm going to say good night to everybody and thank you. And come back next week, same time, same station. I'm going to shut the recording. God bless and pray that this thing comes to a head soon.